From the Shepherd House International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Connors de Sabre, anointed by God, will inspire you with rare and down-to-earth but provoking teachings from the Word of God to love the Lord deeply and to devote yourself to His work. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now, here is Bishop Collins.
At the window, she was sitting there, and I went into the third seat at the foldable part.
Okay.
And the bus went into Potentia to drop off some people. After the bus went to drop off persons, the guy came out of the bus while I was sitting at the window, and I quickly moved into that seat.
Right.
When I moved into that seat, there was a guy who was even coming to sit next to me, but he probably realized that, hey, this is my wife, so why don't you go and sit next to your husband?
Sheesh.
So she came to sit next to me.
All right, that's that.
So the bus continued its journey down Potentia, the road they're going, picking up passengers as it goes on, not knowing. At the DNL gas station, a car came out suddenly. I don't know if the bus driver saw the car or went through the bus driver's mind, but suddenly the bus hit the car, and all I remember is a second of blackness. I didn't see anything. I didn't know what's happening. All I felt is that there was a rolling.
Somebody shout mercy.
Mercy.
Amen. When I caught myself, I was actually standing in the bus.
Standing in the bus.
Yeah, I was standing.
Hold on. You said earlier that the bus hit the car.
Yes.
Right? And you blacked out for maybe some space.
No, I saw. That's what
I saw. You saw blackness.
Dark. Yes.
Dark.
Yeah.
And then moments later, you were standing.
I was standing in the bus.
In the bus. You are standing in the bus. Oh, you don't understand the testimony. Yes, Pastor John. Tell us.
After that, I heard my wife was shouting for me.
Your wife was
so
shouting
I began to panic.
Oh, she was shouting for you, cry. By all means. She was shouting for you. She was shouting for you, yes.
I heard my wife shouting for me, so I began to panic. I was thinking that, hey, where's my wife? Is she pinned down? Something happened to her. When I looked down, I saw that she was in panic. So I quickly, there was somebody even actually who was on her. So I just pushed the person off.
So I shouted, yeah!
Yeah. All I was thinking about was my wife.
That's right.
So all the other passengers, right. I didn't have time to work with them.
He had find out a wife. My God.
So I pushed the person off, and I quickly helped my wife to go through the window, and I also came out of the bus at that time.
Wow.
And then, you know, we managed to come out of the bus, crossed over the trench that the bus was in, and they took us to the hospital for treatment.
So, Pastor, was there anybody else who was injured in that bus? Did anyone, anything else happen to anybody in that bus?
Yes, so when we went to the hospital, I think things became a bit more clear. We we saw persons who was badly injured.
Badly injured, more than what I'm seeing. More than
what happened to us. Ish. Badly injured.
Badly injured.
Whose neck wasn't fractured, ribs wasn't broken, legs wasn't broken. And then we also saw a lady, when they took us to a different part of the emergency room, we saw a lady that was actually behind us, covered up. We didn't know where that body was, but when they came to check the body and they took off the cloth, you know, myself and my wife, we saw a yellow top. We remember that is the young lady
who was sitting
in the front of the bus. She died.
She died.
Later on, reports keep coming in that this person died. Eventually, we heard that four persons lost their life in that accident.
Hallelujah. Do you understand what's happening? Do you see the picture of what's happening? Or you can't see the picture of what's happening? So why are you sitting down like that? Oh, stand to your feet. Put your hands together for the power of God. Hold on. You see? You see? This is the man of God. Amen. The man of God was standing in the bus after the bus hit. He was standing. And the only thing he thought about is, where's my wife? Not even considering the pain he himself was having. Because he's also not wearing his shoes as he would usually. So it means that he also experienced some hurt.
And they were saying that as they went to the hospital, they started seeing people coming in. People started coming in one by one, one by one. Eventually, by the night, there were four persons who were pronounced dead. But by the grace of God, someone say, by the grace of God, their lives, by the grace of God, his life and his life for his beautiful wife was preserved. Put your hands together for the Lord. Put your hands together for the Lord. And a shout unto God. It is through the prayers of our Father. Through the prayers of our Father. Hallelujah. Yes, Pastor Jared.
So I would say, apart from one person I read in the news that the hospital treated and sent away, I would say myself and my wife, with that other guy, were the persons who sustained the least amount of injuries. Yeah.
Least.
Because the newspaper said they treated one guy and sent away, and myself and my wife, the next Sunday, by 12, they had even discharged us because we didn't have any.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't have anything serious. Oh, put your hands together for the Lord. But there were four persons who died. There were four persons who died. But the power of God, through the prayers of our Father, the waking up in the morning, the waking up in the night, the midnight call, the 5 a.m. call, 4 a.m. prayer call, I said the prayers has preserved their lives. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what else you want to hear from this microphone tonight. You have to wake up and believe. Believe in the man of God. Believe in the house of God. Believe in his prophet. And your life will definitely be preserved. Put your hands together for the Lord. You have something more to say? Say it, Pastor Jared. You have something more to say, please. It's not finished.
So when
Look at what transpired. And he stood tall in such a... Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Yes, Pastor Jared.
So the Sunday when Bishop came to see us at the hospital, myself and my wife... Remember my wife, when we went to see her, she couldn't move.
Wife.
She had to move. She even had to move from one bed to the next.
I see.
When Bishop was there, she was even hopping on the foot that was good, moving from one bed to the next.
I see.
So at the end, when Bishop came to see us, at the end, Bishop prayed for us.
Yeah.
Speedy recovery and quick discharge.
Quick discharge.
Yeah.
Somebody say speedy recovery. Quick discharge. In Jesus' name. Shout amen. Yes,
so after Bishop left and I went back to the male's ward, because the wards are not so far apart, it's on the same floor actually, on the different sides. I went back to the male's ward to sit on my bed. Just a few minutes after, my wife, she came into the room walking, smiling.
Hey.
She said she can walk now after Bishop's prayer.
The same person who was, the same person who was limping.
Yes.
She was limping.
She came in smiling.
She came in smiling, yes. Saying that watch.
She can walk now.
She cannot walk.
After
what? No, what's number one? Speedy recovery. Quick discharge. Put your hands together for the power of God. And for the life of our Father, Bishop Victor Collins at Sabre.
So the hospital told us that we were supposed to be in the hospital for 24 hours. But it was less than 12 hours. And
less
then they
than
discharged
12 hours.
Us.
Because of what?
Because
the
of the
words.
Prayers.
The words of the man of God. The man of God said, speedy recovery. Quick discharge. And less than 12 hours, the problem was solved. Put your hands together for the Lord. Do you have anything more to say, Pastor Jared? We are finished.
Yeah, so with two encouragement, I would like to encourage everyone who's here, especially for those who are here for the first time. Don't ever let your faith lack in God, amen? Because as we were in that bus, all we were thinking about was coming to town, to see our son even, to prepare for church the next Sunday. We never thought that the bus would be in an accident.
Yeah.
But I remember in the bus, I told my wife, don't worry, God is in control. We'll be okay.
Yeah.
I also thought that, hey, even if anything happens, I'll be safe. Nothing will happen to me.
Nothing
will happen to my wife.
Happen to you.
So that Jesus is the name. Power of God when we serve him as children. Amen?
Yeah.
God always has us protected.
Amen.
So you shouldn't leave church.
At all.
This church especially. Amen?
It's a good and exceeding land. In Jesus' name.
Because God is real.
God
and
is
he's
real.
In this church.
God is right in this church.
And then secondly, of course, our second testimony is the Father's prayers. Amen. It works.
It works.
It works.
Someone say it works.
It works.
It works.
So if it hasn't worked for you, it's you. But it worked for me. It worked for my wife. Because she can walk after the prayers. We got discharged after the prayers.
Wow.
And with all the prayers that our Father has given us, protected us from that fatal accident.
Hallelujah. Please put your hands together for the power of God. Thank you, Pastor Gerald. Thank you, Sister Salome. Hallelujah. You see, I don't know why you don't want to come to church. Here is where the presence is. Your life will be preserved as you keep coming. See, you may not know. You may not know. Last night we heard, I'm sure many of you heard, someone died. Someone died somewhere along that Mandela Road there, that side there. Just like that. Young guy died. So you don't know when it will be your turn. So you better allow the atmosphere, the covering of our Father to guide you and lead you in the path of righteousness. Put your hands together for powerful testimonies.
Oh, I said hallelujah. Are you excited to be here? All right, let's pray. Father, tonight, thank you for your presence. Speak to our hearts, affect our lives. In Jesus' name, somebody said amen. You may be seated, please, in the presence of the Lord. Goldie, I think you should be at that gate. What do you think? There's a lot of action on that, around that place. Somebody should sit at that where you just moved. Somebody strong, somebody who's active, somebody who is, you know, yeah? Who's that? David? Goldie, you should always sit right there. There's a lot of activity at that door, isn't it? Goldie, what do you think? Mm-hmm. I need you right at that door. If you were there, you understand? All right. Now, I changed the welcome song because I think that we have to. We love church, isn't it? But building the house or building the church is something that we lack. So I changed the song so that we will get into this build your house type of spirit. What do you think? Are you with me? So it's a beautiful song written by our prophet, our founder, our father, the founder of our church, and it's beautiful. Can I have the lyrics? He said, "Thus saith the Lord, consider your ways." This is in Haggai chapter 1, for those of you who know the scriptures. He said, "Consider thy ways. Go up to the mountain and bring the wood and build the house of God. I will take pleasure and be glorified in it. That is my will for you." That's a prophetic word to somebody. That is my will for you, O child. So it's a season we are building on. And as for the church, you see, our church is different. How many understand when we say that? Our church is very different. I have a brother. If you're from the same country, we call ourselves brothers, not necessarily from the same mother or something. I have a brother who has a church in Kitty. And then I was looking at some harvest pictures of his. And I think the last day, he had an overflow. I mean, the streets, he had tents and all of that, like how we had our Jesus, he had something similar. So I was very, very, very amazed and very impressed that, you know, he would have an overflow, because that was the first time I seen his church with an overflow. Then as I continued flipping through his pictures, and I saw a whole truckload of rice. Is it a pink one? The orange? Is it Caribbean rice? Caribbean rice. Yeah. I mean, last year he had that same thing. A truckload of rice. And so I realized that, oh, this is the day that the Lord has made. It's like tonight is the day that the rice and whatever packages, and you should see Guyanese women with their aprons packing bags and things. Hey, I look at the picture, I say, I don't like this thing at all. I don't like to bring no rice and give nobody rice in this church here. That is not the spirit that God has given me. I'm sorry. This church is different. I applaud what he's doing, because people are hungry. I'm even hungry too. But the spirit is, that is why people ask themselves, why are there so many churches? Guyana doesn't even have so many churches. Guyana churches are not so many churches. We need many churches because God gives every leader a different mandate. The world is so different and diverse that God is trying his best to save mankind after Christ dying on the cross. So he always sets up people with a different grace, different anointing, so that people will be attracted to that particular person. Because some people will come to our church, some people won't come to our church. And so if you have just one or two people, then many people wouldn't be saved. Are you following what I'm trying to say? You know, so when I saw it, I said, this thing, I really admire him, but I will never do that. I'm sure if we start giving rice here, this place will be packed. You don't have to do Jesus service. They will have an overflow. Yeah. You don't even have to organize buses. People come in buses by themselves. Yeah. But you see, what we believe is that this is my will for you, child, is to go consider your ways. Consider how you are so interested in building your life. Consider your ways. Consider your life. And you can never run away from the scripture that says that. You see, if you save your life, you lose it. If you spend much energy and time on your life, you will not achieve anything. Yeah. I was talking to my little brother, who is in the Netherlands. And he was talking about his life and ministry, and you know, he was asking me some questions. I like that guy. You know, he asked me questions. You know, he calls me Bishop. He doesn't even call me brother. He calls me Bishop. He calls me Bishop. Anytime you talk, he wants to know something. I mean, brothers don't normally, isn't it? Hey, Wamba, you good? Yeah, right? Good, mommy calling you. You know, something. But anytime we talk, he tries to, you know, ask now and then. You see, maybe because he was my drummer, just like my little boy plays the drums here. He used to play drums for me when he was 14 years old. And he played the drums for me until I left the country. You know, so he has been in the church with me that I have been the pastor for a while. And maybe that's where this looking up to. I'm his pastor, it's, you know, his big brother. Also, and the bishop of the denomination as well. So there are a few things that I'm sure he knows he can count on me for. So he was talking to me about his life and ministry, even to the point where he was saying he doesn't know whether there's some curse. I said, sweet brother, there's no curse anywhere. There's no curse anywhere. There's a part of the world that does not really encourage ministry work. You know, so sometimes you probably have to change locations and see where God and what God wants to do for you. So you need to consider your ways and see whether, for those of you who don't help build a church, you see, I'll preach it out. I'll preach. That is the message we have. The message is to build the house of the Lord. And the message, you see, and if you are under a particular message, you have to also rise up. Otherwise, things don't work for you. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. If you're in another church where they sell food and they give food, that's the spirit there. You flow in that kind of grace. You get it. But if you're in a church where the focus is building the house of the Lord, then that's what you also do. Otherwise, you are like disobedient, and God will not be happy with you. So that's why you have to be careful which church you join. If you want churches like some fancy churches where you go, nobody knows you, you sit in, you get out, nobody calls your name, they don't ask you to stay behind, you don't come for night meetings. You want those churches, they are all around. Yeah. No, you are not obligated to anything. You go in as you will, you come out as you will. But you see, if we are going to consider the church as a home, then Anybody who just walks into the house and leaves the house is quite a very bad child. I'm sure that the mothers who are here, unless you're not a good mother, you find it very some way when your child just walks out in the morning and then comes in the night when everybody is sleeping. He even comes to wake you up to make you open the door and all of that. And then you don't see any sign of the person. There's no contribution in the house. It was Saturdays, there's no, there are not, there's Sundays, no church. If you're a parent, you say, no, this thing is bad. And that's what some homes are. The children just walk in and out, and they bring girls into the house, and bring boys into the house, and they live in the house. They do all kinds of things in the house, and then you are there, you are quiet. That's why people like churches like that also. They walk in and walk out without any obligations. If you really consider this as the house of God, then there must be order, there must be contributions, there must be responsibilities if you belong to the house. It's as simple as that. Yeah. So we believe that we should go into the mountain. Going to the mountain is not a simple thing. We should give our best and bring the wood and build the house of God. We must be people who are focused in building the house of God. Let me tell you. The Lord is revealing a lot of things. And some of them, I mean, I know them. I'm familiar with them. Except that I think I have not woken up to them in our country. You see, as we are praying, a lot of things are coming out. You get it? Last night, the Lord told me that is it where Pastor Gerard had an accident? Nimes. There's a fresh gas. The guy is a new gas station. It's a new gas. It's a new investment. The guy has put money there. The Lord told me that there's a trap in front of the gas station on the road. And they were looking for one of my guys. So they tried Gerald. But Gerald, when you're giving the testimony, I just realized that you could have escaped the accident two times. You just didn't. You're not sensitive. You're not supposed to come Saturday night. You come Sunday morning to church. Don't worry about transportation. You get transportation. If you had slept home that night, you'd have avoided it. That's number. Number two, if you had waited for the car instead of the bus. So when you're sharing, I said, I said, God delivered you. Yeah. There's a trap in front of it. That's Nimes. So that's why if you were part of the prayer. If you are part of the prayer, if you are awake when we're praying. Mm-hmm. So when I say things, I don't have to explain. But you have to, the Lord spoke to me clearly. And so it's because our country has been corrupt for many years. Not only political or racial or something. There's a lot of demons in our country. So what is happening is that there are many Hindu businesses that have traps in front of their businesses. Because at this time of the year, businesses and people who deal with money a lot, they have to offer sacrifices so that money can come again as we enter into a new year. So people must die. That's why people are dying. That's why people are better. Blood must come. Now, today there was another revelation, which of course is obvious, except that you don't wake up to it. Do you know that those who do funeral business also want people to die? Think about it. It's a business. So these funeral parlors that are always prominent in Georgetown, you know their names. I don't have to mention their names. They also are wishing for people to die a lot so they can get business. So the devil uses these kind of avenues to make people die. Yeah. So a lot of things go on in our country. And God is just revealing, you know, some of the things to us. And as he reveals, we're praying about it. There were traps. Last night God told me about traps on the road, here, there. And that's what we tried to pray about it. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Sharon, where did you spend the night? Here or out? Oh, on the West Bank? Here. Okay. Wonderful. Where's Maxwell? Maxwell's there. Okay, good. All right. So you have to be, you have to follow. It's very important you follow. Right? When I say follow, when we say things, especially if you don't follow us, this season you should really follow us. Yeah, because a lot of things are coming up, a lot of things are coming out. And what the devil has told me, and the proof is Pastor Gerald's accident. The devil told me that he would take one of my people out. And who can he take out better than Gerald? Eh? If you're going to take somebody out, there are one or two people that you can really target. And one of them is Gerald. I was listening to Bishop. He was at Impact 2019, Archbishop's program. And he said that. He said something that was very true. He said, if you are not close, you'd never qualify to be a Judas. Judases are close people. If you are not close, and the bishop said, if you are not close, you are Satan or you are Absalom or something. you cannot be a Judas if you are not close. Yeah, he said it clearly. Everybody was laughing. I also laughed, but I said, no, this is a real thing. No, to be a Judas, you have to be close. To be a target, you have to be close. So if you're not a target, you should cry. It means that the devil is not afraid of you. You don't make any sense around. So if you die, it won't make any difference. The devil is so bad that he wants somebody who, if he takes out, it will send a message. Yeah. That's what he likes. Are you with me? But nobody will die. None of you will die, I tell you. None of you will die in the name of Jesus. You will never die. Sandys nor Merrimans or wherever will never have your body. Never. In the name of Jesus. Yeah. Never. Yeah. You see, it is, you'll be surprised that there are still accidents going on. I heard there was an accident around National Hardware area. There's somebody there who has set the trap. It's either Kisun or Continental or National. Somebody there. Sure. Somebody there. Now, you know, understand about it. Blood has become so scarce that they have become very, very aggressive. Yeah. Blood has become so scarce. So when you hear one, two, here, don't be moved. Don't be moved. There are, and you may not understand. You see, when we pray, you think that nobody should die. It's not like that. Jesus was around. Not everybody was healed. Yeah, there are some people who were meant to die, and they have to die. We can't stop everybody from dying. Some people, it's their time to die. When it's their time to die, who are we to say that you won't die? So there are things. We are not almighty. We're just stopping and destroying and blocking the ones that can be blocked. There are some that they have to just pass through anyway. Do you get it? So don't be discouraged when you hear the news, an accident here. Don't be. There are many that have been prevented that we were not told. Because Kaicho can't tell you how many people were preserved. The order they can say is those who have died. But walk by faith and not by sight. How many walk by faith and not by sight? Yeah, so blood is so scarce that people are going to the palace to look for blood. The demons are going to the palace rather for blood. Because blood is so scarce. You get it? Your blood will never be in any cup for anybody to drink. Yeah. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. Briefly. Time is fast spent. We're praying at 5 a.m., so time is fast spent, yeah. Who was catching some cramps over there? Who's that? Malachi. You should be careful. Is he okay now? We'll sort you out of the chair. Don't worry. You can't disturb the service now. If you disturb the service, I'll slap you. When we finish, we deal with him. A lot of demons, huh? Yeah. But all of you children, you are covered by the blood of Jesus. And by the blood of Jesus. Covered. Covered. The devil doesn't like you coming to church, you know. When he sees you coming to church too. Hey, you, Andrew and Co, you have to come and share your testimony. Where are your people? Come. Angel, Andrew, Malachi, where are you guys? Come. They have a testimony. I was waiting for Sunday, but I think they should share. Come. Yeah, Christian. That's right. Microphones. Where's Angel? Who else? Yeah, you may see who's there? Marianne? Okay, who else? Malachi? Mikai. Mikai and Malachi. Mikai is the guy who likes things. Okay, so who's going to speak? Andrew? Andrew? Angel? Who's going to speak? Angel. Malachi. All right. Go ahead, Malachi. What happened? Explain. Are you listening? The children have testimony. Listen. They said Thursday, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. Speak. Is the microphone working? Joey, put the microphone to your mouth, right? Don't hold. Who is speaking?
Bishop, Thursday night.
Church, Thursday night.
Uh-huh. When we were coming from Kayak Bus Center,
uh-huh,
we usually stop at Tocqueville. And when we were coming from Tocqueville to come here, Thursday night, there was this young man, he was following us, but we didn't really take it for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't take it for nothing. And he continued following us. When we stopped at church, he stopped by, like, Brother Sherwin them outside, mm-hmm, and wait for us to come out. When we came out from church, he continued following us until we reached at St. Pius School, when Angel decided to let's, if she said, like, if we pray, I wonder if he gonna stay or not. And so we decided to pray, and then when we pray, he was still there. He was cracking his ears and calling things, and then Jesus said, God take over.
Andrew started to prophesy.
Sorry, go ahead. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You can hear. You have Guyanese ears, so you can hear. yeah, second version. Who has the second version? Yes, Christian.
Then Andrew started to prophesy.
And what?
Andrew started to prophesy.
So they are saying that somebody was following you from Tocqueville all the way to the church. Uh-huh. Brother Andrew.
Yes, Bishop. Whilst the Bible was following us, right, Bishop? I was praying as he was following us then.
So the guy was following you from the bus center. Yes. And so when you came to church, he was standing outside.
Yes, Bishop.
How old is he? How big is he?
Around the age of 34.
Around your age?
Yes.
He had no slipper on, and he had on a three-quarter pants, and he wasn't looking very tidy, like someone that ran away or something.
Okay.
And everyone was going home, but when we left, those that stayed in for the meeting, when we left, Marianne highlighted he started to follow us again. Like, why is he still following us and everyone is here and we're going home, just children alone?
Yeah.
And at St. Pius School, I stopped and I was like, if we start to pray, will he go away because, you know, he doesn't understand us, or will he continue?
Okay.
And when we started to pray,
were you praying in tongues?
Yes, please.
You started praying. All of you started praying in tongues?
Yes, yes, sure.
Okay.
And then he just
was blocking his ears.
He laughed and then he started covering his ears and walking ahead. Like he's trying
holding
to
stuff.
Go away, yeah. And then we turned off of Mid Road. We turned mm-hmm. down Castillo. And he went ahead and then he stopped and turned around and continued to follow us. Everyone was like, what's happening here?
Yeah.
And then after Andrew went into the spirit, he started to
Andrew that entered the spirit.
Yes, please.
Whoa! Brother Andrew! Hey, you should be alive to see what God is going to do with these young people here. Andrew, you entered into the spirit. And then what happened?
Entering to spirit.
As you were entering to the spirit,
yes, Bishop.
At the door.
Yes, Bishop. And I was walking And then I felt that God himself, he was right beside me and he was speaking, but I didn't understand what he was saying. And then a part of time, I just feel like he just come right around me and like I just felt blank.
You fell on the street?
Yes, Bishop.
Hey.
Yes, Bishop, he was walking up and down and we were praying and he was highlighting.
Andrew was walking up
one.
And down.
Yes, he was
He's
one.
Speaking in tongues.
Yes, and he was saying that he is one of them. But
Andrew was saying he's one of them.
Yes, but God is with us and he's protecting us and he can't harm us. He's even calling others, but God is with us and he can't do us anything.
That's what Andrew was saying when he was in the spirit. Man! Hey, Charlie, some of you are left behind though. Wow. And at the point he fell down.
He fell after the boy left because
after the boy left, then he fell down.
Yes, Bishop.
Oh, okay.
He was saying use your swords and
he was saying you should use your swords.
Yes, Bishop.
Hey, where's your sword? Wow. Uh-huh. And what happened to him? You must have been scared as he fell on the road like that.
People were wondering like what's happening, why is this stranger standing there and what are they doing? But the area was dark and the young man, he just kept walking like if he's trying to get something, but it's like something is blocking him.
Wow. Hey. These are the days of Elijah on the road. All right. So what happened? Then Andrew, how did Andrew catch himself? I'm interested in that part. You were gone, so let somebody say it.
Bishop, when we were on the road and we tried picking you, but you've been too heavy.
It was too heavy for you.
So we decided to put him on a bench by our ball field, but then he rolled off of it. And when we were walking with him to the street to take him by, I said, Andrew, and he fell down. So I get frightened, and then after, when I call you by me, and I say, Andrew, because I didn't done settle enough for crying. And and then after, when he reached by me, I said, you wake up. I said, you couldn't remember anything going on? He said, we'll be there. I said, that by me. And then after, I turned and said, you can't remember nothing was going on the road. He said, all you know, the young man be found with me. And who the young man there? I said, me, you know. And I left him.
That was it. Wow. Give Jesus a big hand clap. Amen. God bless you, children. It's a blessing. Yeah, what an experience. Yeah, they were telling me. I said, wow. It's beautiful. These are children who wake up and pray with us, you know. Yeah, Andrew is consistent, at least Christian, they all pray. They wake at 5 a.m., midnight. But some of you don't care. The Bible says, out of the mouth of babes has he ordained praise. Watch the children, watch them. They are powerful than something else. Amen. All right, so Ecclesiastes chapter 9, have 10 minutes more. Yeah. Verse 11, we're preaching about strength, isn't it? Wednesday nights, we're doing strength as a determinant. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding. Nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. You see, time to give money, season to come to church, it's time and chance. But many people don't take these things serious. I mean, I didn't allow the media to play the videos that these guys released on social media from the accident that Pastor Jared and his wife were in. It's fantastic. It's fantastic. It's fantastic. It's like one day you are here and the next day you are gone. Time and chance. You see, there are only idiots who will be so caught up in Christmas. Only idiots. Buying, selling, this, that, shopping, late night. It's only idiots. It is only idiots because you can easily die this Christmas. Yeah, last Christmas, this one here, you can easily die. So I don't wake up to things that go on, apart from spiritual things. Yeah. No, but I'm sure there are some of you, you respond to Black Friday, you respond to Cyber Monday, everything these people create, you respond to it. You'll be a very nice lunch for some demon one day. Because that's how they pick up their targets. They pick up their targets by people who just follow almost everything when they call themselves Christians. What is important to me on Christmas Day is a Christmas service. That's all. That's basically what's important. And maybe some food and something. As for food, we always eat food all the time. So it's not the most important thing is that we are remembering the birth of Jesus Christ and the service and the carols. And that's what Christmas is about. But this Regent Street, Stabrook, people buying chairs, blinds, you gotta be an idiot, even you're a Christian, to be focused on all these things like that. The Bible says that keep your eyes on Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Keep your eyes on Jesus. That is how we get so distracted and we go off. That's how you people can kill people. Yeah. Today like this, my first out of the house is here. I've been in my room all day. I was thinking about, I was watching a prison boot camp the other day. I said, I could do well in prison, because it will not affect me at all. Because I can be home all day.
One place.
I was in my study all day today. My first coming out is here. First time I started my car was when I was coming to church this evening. Nothing around it does anything to me. I'm sure you find it strange. Am I a strange person? I'm strange, isn't it? It takes strangeness for God to use you. Yeah? Christmas? Once my wife goes to the market and buys something, make some Christmas, that's it. Christmas decorations. Me got none. It's one tree I got. It's tree. And the tree, it has light, it has leaves, it has everything together. It is there 365 days. Yeah. Once I turn it on, I plug it, I turn the switch on, light is... fairy lights already on the tree. I am not going to go to town to buy fairy lights. Time and chance. So watch how you are using your time and your chance, because somebody is going to ask you what you did with a time and chance. Somebody called God. He's going to ask you. It's unfortunately, we have to even tell Christians these kind of things. We have to tell unbelievers these things, not Christians. Because Christians are supposed to be aware. You see, nowadays, you have to qualify some nouns with an adjective, like a good wife, a good husband, a good Christian. But a husband was when God created a husband, it was good. When God created a wife, it was good. When God created pastors, we were good pastors. But now you have to qualify. I want a good wife. I want a good husband. I want to join a good church. I want to be a strong Christian. How can you be a Christian and not be strong? I mean, where did you hear it from that you are a Christian and you are not strong? Are they weak Christians? We have created that weakness. So time and chance, let's make good use of it. So we're looking at strength. Are you there? Are you quiet or what? What's the first thing we learned about strength? We're saying that there's a battle, and the battle of life, it takes the strong to be able to engage themselves in the battle. If you are not strong in this life, you die. Hey, you get depressed, you get frustrated, you'll cry, you'll lie in your bed, you'll be crying, you'll be rolling and all of that. It takes strength to live this life. You gotta be strong. Are you getting stronger? So the first point we learned was that strength determines the quality of your leadership, isn't it? You can't be a leader who's weak. I think Bernard was a strong leader. Time and chance, though. Time and chance. That's why God has sent some of us here. Your strength determines the quality of your leadership. Number two, your strength determines your ability to fight against your enemy, isn't it? If you can't fight against your enemy, then you are not strong. Number three, your strength what? Determines whether your enemy will attack you or not. If you are strong, your enemy stays away from you. You don't want to go and provoke America. Even this guy next door, what's his name again? The bus driver. Maduro, who succeeded Hugo Chavez. Is it? They have left him there. I'm sure it's a very volatile situation. Because you wonder why this guy is still there after all these years and the country is so, so bad. In the earlier times, he would have been removed. But people know if they touch him, they may easily cause something. Because the other day, Russia flew about two or three jets from Russia straight to Venezuela. They're trying to send a message. Yeah, your strength determines whether your enemy will attack you or not. Number four tonight, isn't it? Your strength determines your level of obedience to God. Obedience takes strength. Your strength determines your level of obedience to God. Isn't that so? Some of you younger ones, when your parents and your guardians say, you can't go to church. You can't go to church. You can't go to church. The moment we are looking for you, say, oh, me mother said, I can't come to the church. You're weak, that's why. It's not like you're an obedient child, though. You are disobedient to God, you're a weak person. Nobody should be able to stop you from coming to church. Whether they are your grandmother or their father, whatever, their strength. Yeah. Because it's true that when you want to do other things, you do it. Nobody is able to stop you. Yeah. One of my pastors was telling us a story yesterday. There's a 15-year-old girl who became sexually active at 14. She's now 15. And she says she's moving with a man of over 40-something years. The man is about 40-something years old. And the girl used to come to our church, 15 years old now, ran away from home. She is living with a man of over 40-something years old. And the other day, the girl told somebody that if this pastor ever dares to come to their house, she and Shiman going to beat this pastor. Yeah, 15-year-old girl. Yeah. She and Shima. 15 years old. 15 years old. Mother can't change her. Father can't change her. Even the system cannot change her. She's using her strength. You see, so it blows our mind when you are in church. And then you seem to always have an excuse why you can't do something. I said, it blows our mind when you are in church and you don't always seem to have the chance or opportunity or don't want to do something. Always have an excuse of somebody. No, it's weakness. When you see strong people, you should see them. They are always around. They are always there. Hallelujah. I said, you look at Barak Jagdeo. For the last 20-something years, this guy has been in the face of the nation for all the time. He's always around. Yeah, nobody can put him down. Granger and these people came up. They have not been able to silence this guy. That's what I'm saying. In Africa, to silence you, they will take your life away. You're finished. Yeah. Nobody is able to take the guy on. 15-year-old girl used to come to our church. Is living with a man of 40-something years old and say that if the pastor ever tries to come and talk to her about anything, she and she man gonna beat the pastor. Yeah. Yeah. Send a message to the pastor through another young girl. Because she knows that the pastor loved her and was talking to her and trying to help her and all of that. So she knows that if the pastor hears about 15-year-old and 40-something, a good shepherd will step in. He said, let the pastor know. Come here, me and Mima are going to beat you. It's fantastic. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 7. Your strength determines your level of obedience to God. Let me tell you, there are many, many times God has spoken to all of you. But your ability to obey God depends on your strength. Sometimes even your strength to part with something or somebody. Yeah. It takes strength to obey God. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. Do you get it here? Are you sure? Yeah. Girls who sleep in church, you don't want to marry them all. Yeah. You want to marry the girls who are shouting, amen. Amen. Receive it, one. Those girls who are very complex, they are sleeping in church on the front row. You know, listen. Marry a woman who's interested in the preaching. Children, are you there? You must marry a woman who likes preaching. Yeah. Yeah, a woman who likes preaching. Who's awake when preaching is coming? Yeah. It's Jiggy who's changing my message now. No, you see, what is the point in dressing up and coming to church and coming and then you are sleeping? It means that the preaching is not what your mind is on. Yeah, no. I thought you dress up to come and hear the pastor preach. Yeah. Yeah. We have been preaching for many years, though. Yeah. I'm preaching nice, isn't it? Yeah. Maybe I should bring my pulpit here. Yeah. 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 Because when I go there, I see people sleeping. I got to come here. Yeah. Yeah. You don't sleep in this corner here. Okay, all right. Yeah, people are exonerating themselves. But I'm saying that it's very, very important to obey God, but it takes strength to do that. Moses, Joshua's father, said that, you know what, brother, you have to be strong because you have to do this thing that God is telling you to do. It means that this thing, now I can see your eyes. That's, I want to see your eyes. How dare you? Now, very soon I'll preach to you the type of woman you should marry. Yeah. Yeah. Some of you boys, you don't know what is good for you. Yeah. That's for women, there are types, there are different types of women. Yeah. You have to know which one is good. Yeah. The ones who listen to preaching and shout, amen. They are signs of a good wife. A good woman. Yeah. Moses said, Joshua, you have to be strong because obeying what God has said you should do, it takes strength. You can't take it for granted that you are going to take the people to the land which the Lord, because you see, the land where they were going, there were people living there. There were people on the road, on the way. So as they were going, people heard about what God had done for them in Egypt. So as they were coming, people were shutting their doors. People were using barricades to block roads. They didn't want the Israelites to pass through their towns and their cities for anything. Now, if you are going to follow God and obey God's command of taking the people to Canaan, that you need to be strong. You need to be strong. Yes. You must be strong. Otherwise, you will never be able to take. And it even is applicable in those of us who are into leading people. You have to strongly lead people. There are some of the things that the people are not interested in it anyway. I said it. Yesterday I was saying it. I said, if only I relax, you see how many of you will just fall off. With even just a little bit of delegation, giving the pastors the responsibility, many people are falling off. Because it's very different from when I myself was into the work myself. When I finished preaching, I stand in, I counsel people, I pray with people. The church was different. It takes strength to lead people. It takes strength to obey God. So if you're going to be a leader, a pastor, a percentage leader or whatever form of leader in the church, you will need to take people almost like by force to where God wants you to take them. The people, they don't understand where they are going. They will complain about where they are going. They will not be able to even comprehend where they have to go. You, the man who is the leader, the woman who is the leader, will have to, by strength, take people somewhere. It takes obedience, strength to obey God. You think it's easy to leave your boyfriend? Yeah. You think it's easy to leave your girlfriend? What has the girl done to you? If anything at all, she's the one who's been servicing you. Anytime they say you change your engine oil and change your brakes now and then, make you feel nice. Lubricant. Yeah. You think it's easy to leave your boyfriend? But it's only weak people who can't obey God. I say it's only weak people who can't obey God. It takes strength. Take strength. Your strength will determine your obedience to God. I tell you. Yeah. The This thing is not for weak people. Leading, taking people somewhere, taking yourself somewhere, obeying God. God is not a man. So many of the things that God says or tells us, they are very strange to a man. I should say it again, right? The things that God will want you to do, they are very contrary to how man thinks. That's how you need strength. Because when God tells you to do something, it's going to be very different from what people expect you to do, how people expect you to behave. And you know that when you don't do things that people expect you to do, people begin to shun you. People begin to mark you. Say, what's that? What's this? Do you have to do all of that? Does it call for all of this? A father was trying to sort out his daughter about coming to church. And was telling the daughter that Sunday and Wednesday alone is enough. And that he want to meet me and tell me to my face. Yeah. Sunday and Wednesday alone is enough. This one day, every day I'm going to church to do this, I'm going to church to do this. It's too much. Now, to obey God in that, you need strength because your father doesn't like you to be doing those things. Who wants to disobey their father? Who wants their father to who wants to go into their father's books as somebody who doesn't respond or respect them? It takes strength. If you are weak, you can't obey God. You cannot. You cannot at all. As there are many, many, many weak pastors around. Because to obey God, you need to be strong. It's not easy to go against the expectations of people. Josh, which movie did we watch? Was it the Evans Almighty or something Almighty?
Almighty Bruce.
Is it the Noah one? There was some Noah one we watched. Some Noah.
Even Almighty.
It's the same guy. Yes, it was Even Almighty, rather. The guy was working nicely in his office somewhere. And just God comes to disturb his life. If you have watched that, it's a very funny movie. Even his beard. The guy's beard was growing. He shaves it, and then it just grows back. It's like you have to. Your suit, this suit can't work for God, and he is fighting against it. He wants to wear a suit. He wants to shave his beard and go to the office looking neat. And when he goes to the office, his face is full of hair. And everybody in the office is looking at you like something is wrong with you. That is how it is to obey God. It takes strength. It changes your life completely. People begin to say bad things about you. People begin to say negative things about you. Because what you are doing is against the expectations of human beings. How can you take a group of people... He says, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with these people. You must. I know these people, because it's a lot of people. Even to lead them, their needs, their concerns, their complaints, to even be able to handle that, it takes strength. And now you are going to a place where somebody lives already. You are going to move somebody from their home, and then you put these people inside there. It takes strength. If you're going to obey God. Abraham had to obey God when he came to his son Isaac. It was strength. It was strength to take your son and say, I'm going to sacrifice my son. It's strength. Strength. I know how Guyanese people stay with their children. Yeah, as for that, I know. Where's the friend? You gone away? You gone out? Oh, you moved. Okay, you don't want to fall down. Okay, it's a good idea. You take your son to go and kill your son? You want to obey God? Your mind must be strong. I hear some of my people, they talk about, I even said it before they started opening up, how you look at your contemporaries and it looks as if they are moving ahead in life. And you look like you're making joke in life. It's only church use come. Once you come to the church, you get stupid. You can't even wear a nice clothes, a nice dress or it. You just get stupid when you join this church. You forget about yourself. You don't take care of yourself. You don't comb your hair. You don't put cream in your head. All of that. All kinds of things. You get stupid when you join the church. We will definitely not be able to please those out there if we are going to obey God. And we have to do it in strength. Do it in strength. 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 That doesn't mean I can stay in prison. Yeah, maybe I should go and do something and let them take me to prison. What do you think? No? Oh, but you come and visit me. I'll get top up all the time. I have so much. I'll even send my credit in jail. Yeah. I'll sell 200 for 400. Yeah. I'm sure every day the wardens will come and tell me, you got a visitor. I'll get food all the time. Yeah. I'm sure when you come and sing praise and pray with me and all of that. I'm sure I will see the true church members when I go to jail. I don't know what I'm going to do in jail, but if I ever find myself in jail. They'll say, please go away. Go. We don't want you here. Go out. Go out. you go. Go away. They told Isaac, when he dug wells, he started getting great. And Bible said, the man works great. At the point, Abimelech told him, he said, go away from us. You are too mighty for us. Go away. We can't handle you. You're too mighty. You're too strong. Please go. We can't handle you. The light on you is too much. Please go away. Go further. We can't handle it. Yeah, it takes strength to obey God. Adam wasn't strong. He wasn't strong. That's why he couldn't obey God. Because when he looks at his wife who had eaten the apple, whose color was changing, whose face was changing, and it's like, Charlie, I love you, so let me just go down with you too. And there are many Guyanese pastors who are not strong with their wives. I was explaining to somebody about when these young boys say they want to marry a ministry-minded woman. It was a delusion in the time of Orandell and Keith. They want to marry women who are into ministry. It's a delusion. Current state delusion. Mm-hmm. Every age, every level you are at, there's always something that you are deluded about. It is when you pass, then you look back and say, what? How could I do that? Because when you were there, you were blind. You were deluded. If you choose a woman who is ministry-minded, you are likely to marry an assistant pastor. Not a wife, an assistant pastor. Yeah, with your own crosses, your own certificates. They want to preach also. Yeah. When you go home, they are tired because you came to preach. She also came to preach. Who is going to cook? In fact, if you don't take care, you go home before her because she's also doing counseling. She has her own ship. She has her own ministry. Meanwhile, God created the woman to be a helper, a wife. So when they were growing up, they said, I want a woman who is into ministry. Ministry. Yeah, you want, and that's what many Guyanese churches are. It's a husband and wife. You see programs, the pastor is doing the program. When he's not there, it's the wife who's doing the program. Not somebody else. That's why when you here, when I'm not here, it's not my wife who preaches. It takes strength, though. Because I came with her. She's the most trusted person. She's the most trusted person in the church. It's not Keith. It's not Gerald. It's not any of these guys. The most trusted person is my wife. Oh, you don't think so? Yeah, so when I give you a responsibility, I pass and I give you a responsibility. It's strength. Because I know she'll feel left out. And then it's not nice to have somebody next to you who feels left out. You're sleeping on the same bed and she feels left out. So you don't even know what strength is. We can see strength now. Are you seeing strength now? Yeah. Take strength. Guyanese pastors, they're everywhere with their wives, though. Many of the girls that I sometimes I move around, everybody has been asked every day, my wife before, from Abigail to whoever. Oh, is that your wife? Oh, is the mistress? Then you have to explain. It's my daughter. Oh, daughter? Hey, you don't look so old. Why you won't mind my business? It's my daughter. Because they know that when you see the pastor, you see his wife. So it takes strength to even leave your wife home. They don't stay home if you're not strong. They are going with you. Sit on the front seat, they're going with you. Hey, dress up. I tell you, where you go, I'll be. Yeah. Some guys don't even know what I'm talking about. You can't control your woman. You're not strong. Huh? I'm saying that if I'm not here, the next person to preach is Lead Pastor Elsie. Yeah. 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 Technically. But it takes strength to say, no. Let small boy Oranda, let small boy Jack, let them preach. You sit down there, let them preach. It takes strength to choose Joanne as a center leader where Dion and Jackie and Ina, all these big women are. Yeah. It takes strength to make such certain decisions. It takes strength to fire people. Yeah. It's true. People don't realize that. Your strength will be seen when you marry. Whether the woman will control you or you control the woman. You're smiling? I'll be here when you marry. You smile. <Yeah. laughs> Is that a good message? Yeah. Many of you women are too strong for your husbands. Yeah, you come to church too much. If I was your husband, you would not come to church as often as you come. Stand to your feet, please.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For booking and more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.shepherdhouseinternational.org. God richly bless you.